Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In Podcast 760, I don't want to, but it's the elephant in the room, and so we are going to talk about the circus in Washington, D.C. and Judge Brett Kavanaugh in Podcast 760. Well, the seasons are changing, and that means getting a heating check from Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Whether you're at your business and you got issues, you want to make sure your heating is working, or whether it's at home, trust me, you want to have your heating checked. I went through this. We didn't check the heat. It went out when it was 14 below zero on a night when no one was around to fix it, and that was New Year's Eve, believe it or not, at the stroke of midnight, which I think is funny. Why? Because we didn't check the heat to make sure it was working. So when you have plumbing or heating problems, or you think you might have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service. For example, if you have a toilet that's running, that thing is sweating, and there are people, I have been told stories about how floors will reach the point where they will literally start rotting because those toilets that are running all the time are sweating and ruining the floors. And then when they come in to fix the toilet, they have to rip the toilet out and half the floor comes out with it. So then you got that to worry about. That's how a bathroom goes from a $150 toilet to $15,000 worth of work. So when you have problems, or you want to make sure that things are checked so that you don't have problems, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Yeah, they go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Once again, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. By the way, don't forget the Bob Davis Podcast. Printing is powered by Cartridge World. I hate printing, and I hate the big box office supply stores because they charge you an arm and a leg for print cartridges. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and they are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between the Dairy Queen and Subway, 763-420-6632. 763-420-6632. If you're in Maple Grove, check them out because you cannot believe what a great relief it is not to have to pay $110 a piece for print cartridges. For me, nothing is a bigger contributor to the feeling that our government and our political process is spinning out of control than the current fight between the White House and Republicans with Democrats over the nomination and the vote on whether one Brett Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed as a justice of the Supreme Court, a court which was added as an afterthought at the Constitutional Convention, a court which has been the bane of many presidents, certainly the first being Thomas Jefferson, but others as well. Roosevelt tried to pack the court. There's very little about it in the Constitution, and so it's a very interesting situation that we're dealing with, that suddenly a Supreme Court nomination is the most important thing, and a nomination fight, which is what this is, turns into something that literally brings the country to almost a standstill. It is difficult to talk about it. It is difficult for me actually to even think about it because I'm so frustrated with these idiots in Washington. In fact, I haven't thought much about it beyond some conversations because to me, the whole thing feels like a huge manipulation, and it makes me wonder, to be quite honest with you, whether all those conspiracy videos that I watch on YouTube before I go to sleep are actually true, whether QAnon is actually someone that knows what they're talking about, whether the FBI and the deep state stuff is true. And what is going on the supposed surface of our government is hard to tell. You know, it makes me wonder whether there's something deeper in all of this that is going on. And I don't like that feeling because you can't confirm it or deny it. You don't have any information where you can say this is exactly what is happening. It's all innuendo and rumor. And I don't like being in that kind of an environment. In the 1950s, the prominent witch hunt was McCarthyism. the search and destroy mission of Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy to root out, discredit, and remove communists from inside the deep state, the U.S. government, and in particular, U.S. government bureaucracies, legislative staffers, the Army, as well as people in the movies and communications and newspapers and media and everywhere else. A permanent Senate committee that was supposed to solve this problem, but ended up being steeped in rumors and innuendos, fed by fear, fear of nuclear war, fear of an imminent communist takeover from within the United States, fueled by those very same hearings. All a person needed to do was just say that someone was a communist or worked for a communist front organization or thought to be a communist, and that person's life was essentially over. I've talked about the Cultural Revolution raging in this country right now and how it compares to the Cultural Revolution that very much upended communist China in the 1970s, a revolution promulgated by Puritans in both cases. In this case, Puritans whose religion is government, specifically government by representatives on the left. Oh, don't worry. Republicans and right-wingers have their bugaboos too, and they deserve criticism. But I lay this at the door of a zealous Democratic Party, which I'll talk about in a second, and the Me Too movement, a movement that seemed to have some potential to be such a good thing. Women were finally standing up for themselves and being heard. Men were finally paying for their sins. Bill Cosby has been convicted, and a whole host of other men were convicted in the court of public opinion and hounded from their perches at the highest peaks of power. Me too. There would be no more casting couch, no more locks on the doors, no more harassment, no more fear for women in the workplace, and if you're a man, you have to say me too, and you have to support and quote unquote treat women with nothing but respect, and you have to have credentials that say that you're pro-woman almost completely, or you are subject to attack in this cultural revolution that's now going on in this country because the politicians got a hold of me too, and now they're using it to destroy someone whose crime appears to be that he was nominated to be a Supreme Court justice at a time when the opposing party has enough votes to confirm him. Don't worry, I'm not defending Brett Kavanaugh. I can't possibly know whether he did the things that he is charged with, but no one else can either, and we'll never be able to know because there isn't, at least in the present time, enough evidence. Eyewitnesses are not just the only evidence. Eyewitness accounts are not good enough because in a court of law, you have to prove someone's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to have corroborating evidence. Now, maybe there will be corroborating evidence in this case, but I haven't seen any. And so if there never is any corroborating evidence, then this person will never be able to clear his name. And if he is confirmed, he will serve under a black cloud for the rest of his life. We're not talking about the judge's rulings, his social or political viewpoints. And my understanding is some conservatives don't like Brett Kavanaugh because they don't think that he is, quote unquote, a conservative. They think that he is not an originalist, a person who believes in the intent of the original Constitution of the United States. And so he tends to be, my perception is that he's relatively moderate, similar in the sense to Anthony Kennedy, although now they're saying that Anthony Kennedy was this raging conservative. We're watching the Senate of the United States and two political parties tear each other and the country apart, given the central nervous system of our society today, which is somewhat different than the 1950s and in earlier times when the Supreme Court caused problems in politics in this country and issues with the court. Today, we have the internet. And so every howl, shout, demand, every rumor, innuendo, everything said is rebroadcast at top volume and spread throughout society at top volume and hilarity ensues. Angry tweets, rants on Facebook, people screaming on talk radio, vile memes, people who don't know anything about the process or the case or the individual or even the evidence. They don't know anything about the role of courts, judges, or anything else. especially the rules of evidence, seize the chance to demand that everyone come around to their way of thinking on Twitter and Facebook and so forth. And you just have to you have to turn it off, and you have to select not to follow those people anymore, because it doesn't do anything. Not to mention the fact that this is not a court of law. This is a Senate hearing. And so that's also something that has to factor in, because you don't necessarily have to abide by the rules of evidence. And yet, if this was something that someone was actually charged with, the bar for evidence is very high. So this is something taking place in the court of public opinion, which apparently has no scruples when it comes to needing evidence. Evidence? Who needs evidence when you're going to tar somebody and feather them? You know, I'm reminded that, and I said this at the beginning, the Supreme Court has caused presidents trouble from the very beginning. And at the beginning, it wasn't thought of as in very high regard as a branch of government. It was thought of the two great branches of government were the legislative and the executive branch, and they didn't pay much attention to Supreme Court justices. In fact, John Jay, who I think was the first Supreme Court chief justice, made them wear red robes. It wasn't until later that they started wearing black robes, and they held court in the Senate chamber, and then later they actually had their own chamber on the other side. And then, of course, they got their own building in, what, the 1940s or 30s or something. For Republicans, whatever Republicans want is a good thing. For Democrats, whatever Democrats want is a good thing. For both, the opposite is bad. Republicans, yay. Democrats, yay. When's the big game? Who's going to win? Come on over to watch. We got bean dip. And that is what has happened. We have turned it into sports. And we also, and I have to say this as well, as an afterthought almost, that we have a situation where court rulings on the role of government in the lives of Americans have become so much more important today, because government is literally so much larger a part of our life since the 1930s and certainly since the 1970s in this country. And so what the court does and what these people do is suddenly life-changing because of the role the courts have in deciding whether our lives are going to be affected or not. And that doesn't even include what the congressmen do and what the senators do and the presidents do and so forth. I look at this and I remember Joseph N. Welch, who was an attorney for the Army in the Army McCarthy hearings, who finally had it with Joe McCarthy's tactics and said, "Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last?" And that is a famous, thing that's been pulled from those trials, and we often hear it. I think this is very much like the McCarthy hearings. When you can disqualify somebody because of rumors, it's exactly the same thing. And Democrats for years have decried Republicans for, you know, allowing McCarthy to go on as long as he did. And here we have Democrats doing exactly the same thing. And this does not absolve Republicans from blocking judicial appointments and playing little games as well. I think that they are both equally to blame, even though for Republicans now they see what's going on and they consider themselves to be victims of this, you know, quote unquote, witch hunt, whether it's the president or other Republicans. But when the Republicans are in power, this is how politics has played in this country. And again, I don't think it made any difference 150 years ago because nobody paid any attention to them. Now you have to pay attention to them because they have the power to ruin our lives. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a judicial icon of the left, has said that she believes the confirmation process for the Supreme Court justices in the Senate is wrong. She pointed to her own confirmation with 96 votes, a bipartisan vote, and an example of the spirit of bipartisanism in 1993 when she was nominated to the court by President Bill Clinton. She says that process was right. The process that we have today is wrong. So what is sacred today? What is sacred to you today in a world where so many things are commodities? Politics is a commodity. People are commodities. Individuals are commodities on social media, influencers and otherwise. One gas station is as good as any other. Coffee stores are on every corner. When was the last time you bought a product or service somewhere and you thought to yourself, geez, I wish I had known about this 10 years ago because this was a great experience. And yet that is the most important thing for the things that are important to you, right? Whether it's your wedding ring, your great-grandfather's watch, your Rolex, the diamonds in your wedding ring or your wife's wedding ring or your daughter's wedding ring and worrying about whether or not they're secure. Wouldn't it be important if you had a name and a jeweler that you could trust? And that is Johanken Jewelers in Crystal, Minnesota. It's been in the same family since 1886. It is not a chain, Johanken's, local family, like the things that are important to you. Johanken's, known for rebuilding and repairing crowns and settings to perfection. I've seen some of their work. It's amazing. They're really great with watch repair and all jewelry repairs, watch restoration and service, and they have this amazing selection of vintage wristwatches and timepieces. By the way, they have new stuff as well, which you have to see to believe. Check out johanktonjewelers.net. Lots of great advice and information, including a great recent article about jewelry trends for the fall. They're at 115 Willow Bend in Crystal, 763-537-7233. That's 763-537-7233. Johanken Jewelers. Click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, and it takes you to their website. You can see what they do. johanktonjewelers.net. Now, we're eventually going to get back to issues, and one of them is trade protection, and the trade fight between China and Canada and the U.S. is going great guns, and that means businesses are trying to figure out what they're going to do. A lot of manufacturing companies are taking stuff in-house. A lot of companies are saying, why did we do that? If this is you, then you want to talk to an American manufacturing company that's good at what they do and great at engineering manufacturing. Visit Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing at DepotStar.com, DepotStar, DepotStar.com. What is this all about? And why, Bob Davis, aren't you telling us how the Democrats are wrong and you know what Kavanaugh hasn't done and that he's an upstanding citizen and this is a terrible thing what they're doing and so forth? Well, I'll tell you why, because what this is all about is this is about the midterm elections, plain and simple. It is a cause celeb to fire up Democrat voters because the Democratic Party is terrified that their voters, who usually don't vote in midterms, will stay home. Now, I have a pet theory that I am starting to see evidence. As you know, I went through all of the toss-up races. They aren't toss-ups. They're just very close. And there are a few genuine toss-ups. I'm not going to go back into that. But I think that my little working theory is that I believe that this might be, along with other things that the Democrats have done, a massive miscalculation on their part. And I think that it could actually backfire on Democrats and bring Republican voters who do usually vote in midterms out in droves. It remains to be seen. I also think the media is, and I when I say media, I would have to say the cable news channels, and that includes Fox and a lot of the mainstream outlets are making a huge mistake because anything Republican they fire on, they are not playing fair, and they are not creating a nonpartisan standard by which a person can judge the news of the day. It's very much opinionated, and you end up having to listen to this guy over here and that guy over there and this woman over here in order to try to figure out how to read between the lines. That's not informing the public, and that is not what the quote-unquote Fourth Estate is supposed to do. So I think not only will it backfire on Democrats, possibly, but it will also possibly misfire or backfire on the media as well. I also think this has a lot to do with a party structure, with appointments deep in the infrastructure of the executive and legislative branches after 8 years of a Democrat president and a few years of Democrat majorities in the House and Senate, at least until 2014. And from the perspective, you know, of the Democrat, it's understandable that they would have packed these structures with their people. And this is how it works when you become president. You appoint people that you like. And most of the time, Democrats appoint Democrats and Republicans appoint Republicans, with few exceptions. Given that structure and the elite operatives and activists on the left simply not being able to stomach the election of President Trump because they believe the media, when it told Americans, incorrectly, by the way, that former Secretary of State and First Lady Hillary Clinton would win the presidency. Now, she did win the popular vote, which, by the way, the polls really didn't show. As you know, if you listen to my polling podcast during election 2016, the polls never said that she would win. The polls said it would be a close election. And so she was able to, you know, win the popular vote. But President Trump was able to win the Electoral College with victories in Ohio and Georgia and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and places like that. And what the media failed to do before the election was fully explain to the American people that we do not elect our presidents by popular vote. They are appointed. They are appointed by the Electoral College. There have been many examples of president being appointed that weren't necessarily popular, because that's what they are. They are appointed by the Electoral College. And that, you know, just is so confusing to people, because they would have to actually read some history and try to understand why they designed the government in this way. They just want to get rid of it, and they want to have quote-unquote democracy. This is a representative republic, and we do not elect presidents. They are appointed by trusted electors at the state level. That is how our system works. And the media didn't explain that. They told everybody that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and they're in the process of doing that with the midterms as well, trying to winnow down predictions of toss-up races all going Democrat based on a couple of numbers. And they may be right, as I have said, but they may also be wrong. My sense is that a lot of people worked very, very hard as loyal Democrats to do whatever they could to stop the election of Donald Trump as president. And maybe they were right to do that. Maybe he is the worst. Maybe he's the Antichrist. Maybe he's the worst possible guy. Maybe he's the worst president since I don't know who. But they have not made a case with evidence that proves beyond a reasonable doubt that this man has done something illegal, something untoward enough to cause his removal from office. And until they do, the American people remain unconvinced. Yeah, my friends who are Democrats are completely convinced that he's the worst president on the planet ever. And my Republican friends think he's great because they love the tax cut. So it's about politics. And what has happened is that the people who are left have decided to tear this administration down with 1,000 cuts, too many to answer on a day-to-day basis, too many to do podcasts about, because at this point, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what Trump did or didn't do, and neither can you. I can't tell you what Brett Kavanaugh did or didn't do, and neither can you. It is all something taking place within the confines of the District of Columbia at this point, except we have to watch it constantly and hear about it constantly in the rest of the country. This is why my favorite comedy scenario would be if we were to secretly move the Capitol, elect new representatives that weren't allowed to have access to the media, and put the Capitol in Omaha and in a nondescript building, and, you know, never told Washington, D.C. that they were no longer the government, and just let them continue to think that they are the government and sit back and watch the fireworks. I myself, as you have often heard me say, I have a lot of concern about Trump's policies. I don't think he's a conservative. I don't think he's a Republican. He certainly isn't a libertarian. He's just a big government guy. But I also worried about the policies of Barack Obama and disagreed with the policies of Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Clinton before him. And I am willing to see what Trump is able to accomplish, if anything. And during all these other presidencies, the country has survived. The sad part is, now that the allegations have been made, apparently without evidence, regarding the latest Supreme Court nominee, we now have to go through this process of determining whether there is evidence, and we have to hear these people, and we have to do all this. Now, I don't know whether there's any evidence, and neither do you, neither does anyone else, and none of these goddamn people who are on television or talking on the radio or writing these articles don't know, you know, anything from telling us what they think is going to happen next. They don't know what's going to happen next, and they don't know the evidence, because frankly, nobody knew the evidence before the guy was nominated. So suddenly this has all just appeared. The only people that knew were the people that knew they were going to use it in the hearings, which gets us back to the whole, you know, Me Too and witch hunt thing. Let's just dip Kavanaugh in, a truth chair and put him down in the lake until he, if he submerged long and we see some bubbles and he comes up alive, then he must be telling the truth, right? The truth is, I think if, at least for me, my truth is, if we all went away to a deserted island with no internet access and no television and no newspapers or radio for the next 30 days and got a great tan, we could come back at the end of October, and I don't think we would miss much, because the only thing that matters now is how the country votes, and that's what this whole thing is about. We have 50 different elections run by 50 different states and a few territories for 435 voting members of Congress, one-third of the U.S. Senate, and some governors and state legislators and some statewide offices, but really, it's about the Senate and it's about the House. And the outcome of this election on November 6th, 2018, is going to determine the future course for this president and the country in general. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe this is the most important midterm election ever. I find that hard to believe. I don't have enough time to go back and look at the results of every midterm election in history and what happened after. But it certainly is important in the present time frame. But it all depends on who votes. Are you a Republican? Well, if you are and you're not out working 24 hours a day to make sure Republicans vote, then you are wasting your time on Facebook and Twitter, and you are wasting your time gathering and eating salad and eating pizza and talking about earned media and other nonsense and messaging and all of the ridiculous things and the Constitution. Let me take out the and teach on the Constitution. You're wasting your time. Because what this is all about is the Democrats versus the Republicans. And the Democrats are going to pull all of the stops to scuttle this president's agenda and eventually his presidency if they can, unless Republicans get out to vote and vote for the existing deal. You know, you don't like your congressman, but he's a Republican and you're a Republican. Guess what? If you don't want the president impeached, then you're going to have to go out and vote Republican. If you're a Democrat and you don't like your candidate, if you want the president impeached, if you want this course that we're on to be altered, you're going to have to go out and vote for the candidate that you don't like. And the 40% of the public that votes in the midterm elections are going to decide whether that effort succeeds or not. Maybe he should be scuttled. I don't actually hear any real arguments from anyone on either side about how to solve the biggest problems we have, which is the results of too much government. The results of too much government in the Federal Reserve, the results of too much government in the financial markets, the results of too much military and military spending, the results of too many people telling too many other people what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, the results of too much spending and $21 trillion of debt and piling on yet more debt and more debt and more debt, even though we got a president who is a businessman and he's supposed to know all that stuff. Nothing is changing. We are continuing to barrel down the road to a very dark day when sooner or later this debt situation and the spending situation and the too much government situation becomes an obvious mistake that will not be able to be undone. I just hear a lot of nonsense right now, and I see a show being put on to either entertain us and keep us quiet because some other horrible thing is going to happen, and they all know it, but we don't, or to get us, you know, just get us upset so we'll go out and do what they want. And it is succeeding. Somebody, one of my friends on Facebook said, and I love this, said, for God's sake, please don't vote. All you're doing is just furthering this insanity. And I thought that was funny. But it is up to the voters. And if that's you, then it's up to you. But if you don't work for candidates and you don't vote, I don't want to hear any theories or, as the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast puts it, caterwauling about what is going to happen after January 19, 2019. Because right after that, you've got another election to lose or win. And if you care about that stuff, if you care enough about it to tweet, if you care enough about it to put it on Facebook, if you care enough about this stuff to tell everybody what they should be doing and how, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket either way, and you don't work for candidates because you just don't have time and you think putting a sign in your yard is all you got to do, well, you deserve what you get. Well, before we go, I got to tell you about a new company I've been working with. It's a payment processor. And I can't emphasize enough that payment processing is so important for business today because everybody wants to pay electronically, whether it's a check or credit cards. You need a payment processor that can work with you. And that is ReliaFund. First of all, if you develop back office software for businesses, if you develop website for clients that do e-commerce, and you're worrying about or thinking about or trying to figure out how to do payment processing. If you are trying to take credit card payments and you're worried about the costs to do that, you want to talk to the people at ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund, because that is what ReliaFund does. They are a payment processor. They've been doing this for 20 years or more, integrated solutions to get payments cleared. If you're developing anything for business or if you are trying to help a local business get payment processing, if you call ReliaFund, you'll deal with an actual human being. No long-term contracts. They're secure. They're technology-focused. 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. You talk to Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry. I have used ReliaFund. I have a ReliaFund button on my website. They're great at helping to solve problems. You can also check them out online at ReliaFund.com. That's R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. Don't forget to call Ryan right now for a furnace check. It's really actually pretty advisable. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide, Plymouth, you know, Maple Grove, Maplewood, Burnsville, Shakopee, all over town to give you great service, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating at ryanplumbing.com. Or you can click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 760 on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen to the stream or you can actually select a podcast and click on the play button and you'll hear the podcast in really great audio quality. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter and for your donations at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 760.